Hey, great to have you guys here. Y'all look so good for Easter. All dressed up nice. So how many of you have done anything having to do with maybe like an Easter egg? Anybody hunted for an Easter egg or anything like that? Yeah, you know? That's kind of a fun thing to do at Easter, right? Well, you know what? Today is the end of Lent, right? We've been doing for 40 days. We've been fasting. You know what I fasted from in Lent? I fasted from desserts and treats like that. So you know what's one thing I'm really looking forward to this afternoon? Treats. Sugar. Yeah, I'm going to have a dessert today, and it's going to be great. But you know, I asked Miss Kim, it's our VBS director right there. I asked her to save me a special Easter egg from the Easter egg hunt yesterday. And I'm so excited about it. And I'm hoping that there's something very special, like maybe an almond joy. Because that would be good. Or wait, maybe even better. Maybe a peanut butter cup. I love peanut butter cups. Do you just open it? I know, it's so exciting. It's so fluffy. Okay, so what do you think? Do you want to help me open it? Do you want to see what's inside of it? Okay, gather around. Here we go. This is so exciting. Let's see what treat I have. You ready? It's empty. It's empty. Wait. What's in there? What does that say? He is risen. That's what it says in there. Now, wait a minute. Is that what I was expecting?
No.
Not at all. Well, you know, that is kind of like what happened on Easter morning. Easter, you know, Easter eggs are fun. Bunnies and stuff, that's fun. That really doesn't have anything to do with Easter. Because Easter is a story about Jesus. Jesus died, and his friends were very, very sad. And they put Jesus' body, his dead body, into a tomb, which is like a cave. And on the morning of what we call Easter today, three of his very good friends, three women, they went to the tomb. And what they expected to find in the tomb was his dead body. And they wanted to cover it with spices and just give him a decent burial. But when they got there, what they found was the stone had been rolled away, and he wasn't in it. There was just this young man in there who said, "Hey, Jesus is risen. Why are you looking where the dead, looking for the living where the dead are?" He said, "Jesus has gone ahead of you, and he wants you to go follow him." That is the real message of Easter. He is risen. When I say he is risen, you say he is risen indeed, and then we all say hallelujah. Let's try that. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. You know what hallelujah means? It's like, praise God, that's awesome. And so, my prayer for you today is on Easter. I hope you have a lot of fun, eat some candy. But remember this, Jesus is alive today. And the Holy Spirit flows with us and helps us to live the life that God wants us to live every single day. And that is what Easter is all about. You ready? Let us pray. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that Jesus came and showed us how to live and that he rose from the dead, that he is not dead, but he has conquered death and that your spirit lives in us today. Give us the strength to live like Jesus every moment of our lives. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. All right, thanks for coming up. You guys can go back to your families. Watch the cords as you go down. Thank you. Have you heard about Joe? He left them. It's true. I heard about Sue. She had another relapse. Oh, those poor kids. Oh. Did you see down the road? Did you see the Peterson house? I think they're in foreclosure. It's tragic. Rumors, right? They are hard to resist, aren't they? Why is it that we get sucked into telling these stories about each other and spreading rumors? You know why I think it is? I think it's because we love stories. We just love stories. I know I love stories. I love stories. I love reading stories. I love writing stories. I love drawing stories. I love watching stories on the stage and on the screen. I just love stories. I love stories so much that I'm a member of a society of writers and illustrators. And 3 years ago, I went to the National Convention of the Society in New York City, and I met an editor there. And this editor told us a story where she took one of her authors out for coffee, and she said, "What's going to be your next story?" And the author told the story to her, and when she was done, she was like, "Oh, that's an amazing story." And I talked to that editor, and the editor gave me a copy of that story. And I looked down at it, and it was called The Hunger Games. Yeah, I'm not making this up. So I read that story on the plane ride back home, and it was like, bam, that's an amazing story. And I gave it to my family, and it spread like wildfire through my family. And then the rumors started. They're going to make a movie. Yeah. So we're like, oh, no, who's going to play Katniss? Who's going to play PETA? They better get it right, you know. And you know how Hollywood likes to crank that rumor mill going. And it rose to a fever pitch last month. People were standing in line for hours to get to the opening of this movie, The Hunger Games. Why do we do that? Because we love stories. I think we were designed for stories. Now, some of you may be sitting there thinking, oh, that's just Steve. You know, he's an artsy-fartsy guy. You're thinking to yourself, I'm more of a facts person. You know, just give me a football or hockey game and I'm good, right? Well, you know, I played football. I like to watch a good football game like anybody. But you know why I think we like watching sports? The drama, right? I mean, we love to see who's going to win. Have you ever been to a football game where it's the beginning of the fourth quarter and one team is up by 40 points? I mean, what happens to the crowd? They're gone. Like, I know how that's going to end. It's because we want drama. We want a game that comes down to the wire. You know, that one, it's like 3-2-1, score. The crowd goes wild. Because we love drama, we love story, I think we were created for stories. You know why I don't like religion? It's because it sucks the life out of God. Let me tell you what religion is. Religion is when human beings like us, we get together and we decide what we think is good, and then we project that idea up onto this thing called the eternal. This thing that we don't understand that's behind us. And then religion takes one of two paths. Either we spend all of our time trying to escape this place that is bad to try to get to the eternal good, or we come up with all kinds of rituals in order to get the gods to bless us with the good that we think is good. That's religion. And you know, that's also true of the Christian religion. Now, I remember growing up, thinking, you know, kind of the message you get is that the only purpose of this life is to make sure you go to heaven after you die. And then, you know, the picture of heaven is kind of like, oh, you know, up in the clouds, just kind of floating around, strumming your harp, singing all the time. It's like a never-ending choir rehearsal. Really? Can I be honest with you for a second? Doesn't that sound really boring? I mean, and doesn't it sound a little bit off? But you know what? That is not what the Bible teaches. I don't follow a Christian religion. I follow the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible is not an abstract idea that is up there somewhere, some kind of unattainable good. The God of the Bible is the God that enters into human history, into stories, into our story. The God of the Bible is the God who makes promises. He says, Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation. And then he does it. He takes and delivers the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, and takes them to what he promised to them. And then he promises, I'm going to bring a Messiah. And he does. And Jesus comes to this earth as a human. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And he lived a human life to show us what the kingdom of God looks like on earth in our lives. And he died a real human painful death. And he was buried in a real tomb. And then he rose from the grave for real. And then he made us a promise. He said, I will return. You see, that's the God of the Bible. The God who has entered into human history, who has made promises and keeps promises, and he will keep that promise. He's the God who propels the human story. You know, that's why I love about the Gospel of Mark and Mark's version of the resurrection story. I invite you right now to take that Bible. There's Bibles in the pews. If you want to take them out, turn to page 929 and look at the Gospel of Mark. It's chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Now, while you're turning there, I'll tell you, most scholars believe that Mark, when he wrote the Gospel, he ended his story at verse 8. Now, many Christians that came after him were so uncomfortable with the way he ended the story that they added more to it. But I believe that Mark ended at verse 8. And let's look at his version of the story. He's died. He's buried in the tomb. And his three friends, these women, they come to the tomb expecting to find his dead body. But instead, they find that the stone has been rolled away. And inside the tomb is this young man sitting there. And he's like, morning, ladies. So you're looking for Jesus? Well, he's not here. He told you he would rise from the dead. And he said, go tell the disciples and Peter to go meet him in Galilee because he's got something for you. Now, what happens next? I mean, when you think about how would you feel in that moment? I mean, like, well, what does it say? It says that the women leave the tomb and they were seized with terror and amazement. Now, these two Greek words, I love them. The first word is tromos, and the other word is ekstasis. Tromos means trembling, and ekstasis is the word that we get ecstatic or ecstasy. It literally means to stand outside of one's own body. I mean, they were freaking out. They were so overwhelmed with amazement. They were on the edge of their seat, trembling with awe and excitement, just like I am as I read the story. Now, what do the women do next? Mark tells us that they say nothing to anyone because they are afraid. Fade to black, roll credits, cue the music, end of story. Really? Mark, you're going to just leave us there? It's like the ultimate cliffhanger. Like every good story should end. Because you know what happens next? You do. You happen next. See, I think that's exactly the point that Mark was trying to make. Mark was reminding us that God is the God of action who enters into our story. You see, Jesus didn't come to bring us religion. Jesus came to invite us into the adventure of life with God, to be like him. Jesus came and he healed the sick and he touched the broken. He came to bring reconciliation to the world, to be with the broken and the hurting and the marginalized of the earth, to bring peace. And he invites us today to join him in that story. So the question for us this morning is, will we leave this empty tomb today and walk away in fear with just a rumor of hope, not really believing that it's true? Or will we leave this empty tomb today full of awe and amazement at the power of God and go into God's story and live the kingdom of God in every moment? You see, here at Grace, that's the kind of community we want to be, that we strive to be. Every week we gather here around the risen Jesus in the bread and the wine to be reminded of God's grace. And we are encouraged and we are filled with hope. And then we are sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit to live in the kingdom of God now and bring that hope to our world. I want to leave you right now with a video that I think sums up everything that we've been talking about.
It implicitly authorizes the use of force.
This was a near-death experience for our financial system in the Western world.
We're touched off massive tsunamis that hit the coast.
Bush took a helicopter tour of flood-swamped New Orleans.
The death toll now stands at 12,000.
The first boom has now risen.
Bush visited the hurricane-ravaged Gulf Coast states.
We're in the midst of a very, very serious financial crisis.